Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. The American road trip is back this summer, and with it, a chance to see the country's epic, wacky and kitschy roadside attractions. Back home in Bemidji, Minnesota this summer, Monocle's Berlin correspondent Kimberly Bradley checked in with the iconic giant statues of the lumberjack Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox, who've been posing for tourists since 1937. But why were they built at all? And what does the American roadside attraction mean today? Kimberly stopped by the statues of Paul and Babe to find out more.
A giant concrete elephant in New Jersey, a monolithic pair of cowboy boots in Texas, an outside wigwam village in California, and a statue of a broad-shouldered lumberjack and his huge cerulean blue ox in northern Minnesota. Roadside attractions have been big in America since the early 20th century, when the nation's first cars and highway systems emerged and long road trips first became possible and popular. Expanses of admittedly boring landscape inspired entrepreneurs and tourist boards to erect visually outrageous things to attract both attention and customers. The Big Elephant in New Jersey houses a restaurant, and the famous concrete Cabazon Dinosaur Park in California led to a restaurant on SoCal's Interstate 10. Usually roadside attractions are about passing by, but I grew up in the shadows of one. Allegedly the country's second most photographed one after the presidential faces etched into Mount Rushmore. In my hometown of Bemidji, Minnesota, the aforementioned lumberjack, Paul Bunyan, and his bovine sidekick, Babe the Blue Ox, stand on the waterfront of Lake Bemidji. Paul is American folklore's lumberjack, a master logger so tall he could chop hundreds of trees down in one fell swoop. Babe's footprints apparently created Minnesota's 10,000 lakes. Why are they here? Since train travel arrived in Bemidji in the late 1800s and the logging industry expanded, the pine forest area had grown into a popular lake district for tourists and summer holiday types coming from nearby Minneapolis, Fargo, and Grand Forks. But the Great Depression caused a downtick in visitor numbers. To bring people back, local business people orchestrated a winter carnival. In January of 1937, they unveiled a 5.5 meter tall cement statue of Paul, wearing a red and black plaid shirt and blue pants that were always a bit too short. 2 years later, the 3 meter tall, 7 meter long Babe appeared with wide horns and sturdy feet. They were the ultimate photo op and became fixtures in town, and let's be honest, in my life. I was a wee 3 years old when I was first photographed with Paul, barely reaching above his shoe. Back then, there was still a small amusement park adjacent to the statues, and local kids got half-price tickets every Friday night. In high school, we made fun of tourists, but sometimes we'd head to the lake to take our own Polaroids and analog photos, or visit our friends who worked summer jobs in the adjacent tourist center, where a small museum still features Paul's huge fingernail clippings, his flag-size underwear, his saw, and other mythological lumberjack swag. As America evolved, so did its roads, and the meaning and relevance of the highway kitsch. Not long before I left for university, a new highway was built around Bemidji. Instead of random travelers happening upon Paul and Babe as they passed through, the place became more one of pilgrimage. Likewise, many attractions on the old Route 66, or in the American Southwest, have become their very own nostalgic detours, that is, if they didn't entirely disappear. Paul and Babe are now octogenarians, but they're still going strong. In the 1990s and again in the 2000s, they made cameos in the movie and TV series Fargo.
Home of Paul Bunyan, Babe the Blue Ox.
Babe the Blue Ox.
Yeah, you know, we got that big statue up there.
The amusement park is long gone, but in its place is a playground and a stand of lush pine trees that make for a better photo backdrop. In the past few winters, an ornate light show has taken place around the two statues. And in July, when I took a selfie with Paul decades after my first Polaroid, families and tourists still stopped for their pictures too, eager to road trip after months of lockdown. These days too, the statues are no longer completely alone. There's also a sculpture of a dancing Ojibwe man nearby, and in the adjacent park, a bronze rendering of Chief Bemidji, an Ojibwe leader the lake and city were named after. This culture was, of course, here long before the loggers came. Stories are rightfully amended and expanded, but as Americans travel again, kitschy nostalgia definitely still has a place. And there's no place like home.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Kimberly Bradley for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye. And thank you for listening, city lovers.